studio.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. They're gonna tear down all the... I hear ya. They're gonna whip down all the... They're gonna sweep out all the... They're gonna pay off all the...
I just have to, and I'm not kidding, gonna get...
Well, that was the Two Headed Motel's finale. Let's review the lyrics to that song. This is from Frank Zappa's movie from 1971, Two Headed Motel. So the song at the end of the movie begins, "They're going to clear out the studio." Then the background parallel voices, "Are you kidding? I am not kidding. They're going to tear down all the... I hear ya. They're going to whip down all the, they're going to sweep out all the, they're going to pay off all the, and then, hey, everybody in the orchestra and the chorus, talking about every one of our lovely and talented dancers. You got it, Jack? The light bulb men, cameramen, makeup men, you got it? The fake-up men, and the rake-up men, especially Herbie Cohen, who was Zappa's manager back then. Especially Herbie Cohen, yee-hoo. They're all going to rise up. They're going to jump up. I said jump up. Talking about jump right up off the floor. Talking about jump right up on off the floor. Jump right up and hit the door. They're all going to rise up and jump off. They're going to ride on home. 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 And once again, take themselves seriously. Yeah, 2, 3, 4, seriously. They're all going to go home through the driving sleet and rain. They're all going to go home through the fog, through the dust, through the tropical fever and the blistering frost. They're all going to go home and get out of it as they can be. And the same goes for me. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And each and every member of this rock-oriented comedy group, in his own special way, is going to get out of it as he can be. Get out of it what he can be. Not sure if that's written exactly right. We're all going to get wasted. We're all going to get twisted. We're all going to get wasted. We're all going to get twisted. And I am definitely going to get reamed tonight. Because I'm such a lonely, talking about a lonely guy. Oh, and I know tonight, each and every one of you is going to go home and write out an order for that Pencil Front album. That's the album that was released earlier in 1971. And I know that on account of that, next time I come back, I'm going to get bent, reamed, and wasted. And a voice comes in at the very end of the song and says, a disaster area the size of Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's the song we began this extravagant demonstration of RNA fortitude at the beginning, way back there on, what day was that? On Friday. That was the song. Let's go over and see if anybody has awakened yet. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Hi, Bob.
Is that Rob?
Yeah, I've just literally, because I've come back and I've mopped them up, I just found this purple, it's definitely a five-bodied, I just found a purple mop with this kind of foot rotator. You press it with a pedal and it scrunches out the mop for you, so I've been missing a mop for months now. And after speaking to you, I've just gone out and I found this, you wouldn't believe it, it's a purple mop, it's worth so much money, and I've just mopped my floor.
Okay, good.
You don't seem surprised. How did you know?
I didn't know. I'm indifferent to your mopping dilemma.
Well, I just wanted to thank you. We're going to have to go out for a walk again in a bit, but if there's nobody here, I promised you I'd kind of help out with keeping your conversation going, but I don't want to burn you out. You know, you've got three more days to go.
Right. What are you thanking me for? What did I do?
Well, I've just got a purple five-bodied kind of message in my house, and I've got a new mop, which is probably worth... It's the best mop on the planet.
What's a purple five-bodied message?
Well, it's a purple mop. I mean, when I seen the purple, I thought, hang on a minute, I better take this home with me. And I've got it home now, I've just mopped the floor. I've never seen a mop like it. It's an industrial mop with an industrial bucket with a foot pedal on it. So instead of scrunching it out, you just press the foot pedal, hold the mop over it, and it kind of scrunches it out. Absolutely awesome.
Okay, very good. All right, you run along now. Run along, take your dog for a walk.
Cheers, Bob.
Yeah, we'll talk later. Let me know when you get back, and I will check to see what the voices are saying here. Let's see. Bert's on there, typing away, looks like. What do they say? We are creating a new Illuminati. In years to come, we will be the conspirators. That darn infinity loop again. Better get back to getting pissed on Saturday night, not blissed, though I have been pissed and blissed on a few pints of cider many times, said Steve, Cider Somerset. LOL. Money flows freely and easily to me, yeah. Or get a sugar daddy. Bob, I'm available. Cider Somerset, this is interesting stuff about the insights of radio stations. Rob, keep on topic. Don't go down one of those portals. LOL. Then another message from Steve. To Technical Rob, we want to know the gossip behind the scenes, LOL. Then Steve says, to infinity and beyond. Then Steve says, Bob Lightyear, yay. Then Martha says, awake now. Martha, are you the one who's down there in Arizona? Had to go to Florida a couple of years ago for your mother or something. Great Bill's Bill is losing it, says Steve. Victoria says, I'm saying goodbye for now. Interesting listening to you. I've got to get some sleep, even if you guys aren't getting any. Smile. Bert says, this is fun to hear the different angles of Bob. Bill and Rob. They're the different angles of Bob. Hi, Bert. It's an episode of the Three Stooges, LOL. Yes, Bert says, Rob is also an easy target. Bert says, hi, Steve, new version of the three. Then Steve says, yeah, he does not know when to press pause sometimes. He does not know when to press pause. I assume you mean Bill, of course, or Rob. And I'd be third in the running there. Maybe you mean Rob. Over on the other side, we have messages from Leon saying, thanks, Bob. That was a great song to wake up to. I feel like Prince Akeem. Then he says, the classical music piece. Then Trevor in Manchester says, the Mop Man is fracking funny. The Mop Man, that's Rob. Sean says, hey, Bob, just tuned in again. Is this your session with the Evergreens about the guy who had the most sexual partners ever? Yes, this is the session involving the Evergreens, asking about the guy who had the most sexual partners ever. We just played that. I have to finish up a couple more minutes to end up that session. I think that's, what's this one? Yes, we've read it all. We've read all that. Okay, so let's finish up the session from October 15th, 1996. Go back a bit. Okay. They should do it.
There would become a need to invent it.
But when you're talking about the cuckoo, is that something that normal historians know of?
Oh, yes, they know of.
Okay, you're talking about that.
Yeah.
And you're looking at what this artifact you know of.
Yeah, but they didn't have an alphabet. The Incas did not have an alphabet.
But here's the key. This is the key point. In the Inca tapes, you know, the Celestine Prophecy, those tapes that you did, a very key McLuhan point is made in them. I never brought up to you. They never developed the wheel.
Yeah.
And the wheel leads to visual space in McLuhan terms and then writing.
Yeah.
And that's and the alphabet. So you're right. The 10,000, the way back, pure Incas, they developed a magnificent resonant kind of culture because they didn't develop the wheel.
Yeah.
And now you're saying here...
Because they didn't develop...
The cuckoo is part of that culture?
Part of that culture, yeah. But it's not an alphabet. It's only an indicator of information. It's not an alphabet.
It's tactile, too.
It's tactile, yeah.
Yeah.
But they...
But you made a point about writing, that they would have developed the alphabet.
But if we didn't have the alphabet these days, we'd have to invent it. Somebody would have to come up with... I've come up with this marvelous invention called alphabet.
But that's McLuhan's point, is that the alphabet is the matrix that created the Western dynamism of mechanical culture. It came out of the alphabet.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have got the mechanism without the alphabet.
No.
So it's not that we would have to invent it.
Yeah.
But unless you mean something different.
What I mean is, it's an invention. The alphabet was an invention by necessity. We have to have an alphabet. We have to have the transfer of knowledge that... It wasn't that the oral tradition...
But it comes out of the wheel cultures.
Comes out of the wheel cultures, yes.
And leads to that battle against the great mathematic in 1500 B.C. when the wheel cultures starts to take over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that leads to a need of writing. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I see your point.
But
the Incas didn't. See, they were totally different.
They went from a totally different direction.
And probably the Atlanteans, I don't know if they
had.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
No, they didn't.
Advanced culture, they had no written words.
Well, this is the key. This is the...
But yes. Ellie,
but you're on the verge of really understanding McLuhan's point. The alphabet is the only medium that abstracts semantic meaning and letters out of its context.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not, and so people, and that's where they could become imperial.
Yeah.
The Greeks could go in and absorb a whole culture, that oral culture, translate it back in a visual, and create empire, Center America. And any culture that never did that is not Western, but... When you know the Atlantean and Inca true history, you can understand their psychic, resonant, tactile cultures because they didn't even develop the wheel, which is the beginning of leading to that visual abstraction. And that's what McLuhan was right on, and that's what's important. But you see the point, Ellie?
Yeah.
But we all...
And that's the end of session. Actually, we'll just give the date, October 15th, 1996. Now... we're going to go on to Atlantis and various themes. This will be session September 28, 1994. We're going to go back a year or so. And this is the order, not chronological, but order of theme. So I think that's it, number two.
The follow.
Stop here. Move up to 147. Still looking. Okay. Take 8 seconds. Drifting along here. Still counting. Right there. Still counting. Okay, this is session from September 28, 1994, session two of that day.
Questions?
Greetings, Evergreen.
Greetings, man.
Now, I'd like to continue an evolution, but we've done the evolution of matter, so to speak, and the evolution of nature. Now man is on the, he's operating on the planet, and the Buddhis intervene in 27,000 BC. That's actually when man begins to evolve with his tools after
yes.
that point. How do you account for the advanced civilization of Atlantis happening by, I think Atlantis disappears by 10,000 BC, so it comes up between 27,000 BC and 10,000 BC. And that is only, there. I assume, other parts of the humans on the planet were not evolving like the Atlantis culture.
No.
Did the Atlantis culture advance because of technologies given by the Buddhis to the humans?
No. You see, realize that the division of groups in those years was considerable. That groups would remain relatively apart from each other. Even nomadic groups would make sure that they would not come into contact with each other.
Paranoia.
Of a considerable extent.
Yes.
That the Atlanteans themselves had, through their concepts, discovered that which would seem to be remarkably out of context for early civilizations, that there would be an anomaly. And in that way, they were an anomaly. They had discovered that certain things existed, and that after the Atlanteans, it took many, many years to rediscover them. And still, many of the things they have discovered have not been replicated or even considered.
Today.
Today.
Yes.
That certain of their knowledges were carried to Egypt, certain of their knowledges were carried to India, that the Vedics learned some, that the Egyptians learned some, that no one learned it all. But what they had discovered was potential, electrical potential. They had discovered that there is...
In electric technology they discovered?
They discovered potential, first of all. It was called The Vedics call it male energy, female energy, within the spark would be created, and that certain experiments that the that done in India to work on storage of this was based on certain rudimentary knowledges, that the creation of static forces was the consideration of the Atlanteans, and discovered the potential electrical, and that spurred their technology, and they achieved a considerable amount with this one area.
Yeah, they didn't get into electricity with wires like we do.
No.
But they discovered the crystal?
They discovered that a crystal could become a resonant point in circuitry. For want of a word, circuitry. That would focus this static energy. That a crystal would resonate at a certain frequency was their next step. Because various crystals would not work in certain circuits because they were so different than other crystals, and certain substances would not work at all.
What were the circuits, what materials were the circuits made up of if they weren't wires?
They were gold.
Metals?
Metals.
Did they have herbal knowledge too? Working with plants for other parts of their life?
Some, of course, that knowledge was extensive in the maintenance of health. The knowledge was extensive.
And that was developed through time.
And that was empirical, yes. Now, that certain herbs would work with stone. And this was to some degree explored.
But they seem to work with metals.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a metal civilization.
Yes.
But very creative.
Very creative. Oh, yes. But creative upon an idea that had been discovered, and that was electrical potential.
What is electrical potential, as we understand it today?
As understood.
Yeah.
That you can create a spark.
Right. When you rub things?
Through static discharge, yes.
With a piece of cloth?
A bit of cloth. It was well known, even to them, that amber was a very interesting subject because it would support an electrical charge. Basically, attraction. Now, realize that one of the areas of discussion by the Atlanteans was that everything attracts. Everything attracts.
Is that a magnetic thing they've noticed?
Oh, they noticed it through magnets. They noticed that magnets attracted. They noticed that magnets repel. They noticed that static charges attract and repel. But everything else attracts. Gravity attracts. You see?
Yes.
So therefore, one of their thrusts was on to alter gravity.
Did they do that?
Not entirely.
They never developed.
We will just replay that last bit. The new sound interrupted the wording. Going to move it back a bit. Right there.
was a very interesting subject because it would support a hierarchical charge. Basically, attraction. Now, realize that one of the areas of discussion by the Atlanteans was that everything attracts. Everything attracts.
Is that a magnetic thing they've noticed?
Oh, they noticed it through magnets. They noticed that magnets attracted. They noticed that magnets repel. They noticed that static charges attract and repel. But everything else attracts. Gravity attracts. You see?
Yes.
So therefore, one of their thrusts was on to alter gravity.
Did they do that?
Not entirely.
They never developed flying vehicles?
Oh, they developed vehicles that could lift off the ground, but they were essentially static discharge machines.
Yeah, they didn't get to travel into the solar system.
No.
Did they see any Bootes UFOs pass over?
In 2 points. Some yes, some no.
You mean some people?
You see, if you look up into the sky, you can upon occasion see an airplane. You do not dismiss it. You focus on it. For a considerable number of years, extraterrestrial vehicles could travel about because essentially they were not seen.
Even though they were visible.
Even though they were visible. If you heard, if you have a society that does not know what to look for, you'd be surprised how ignorant they can be of something that's right in front of them.
Though they at some point began to notice them?
They began to notice.
Did it influence their idea of what they could do and invent?
It did to a degree.
But there was no personal interaction?
No.
You were going to say something, Ellie?
Just curious about the time period, because the alteration took place at 27,000, and somewhere between then...
And 10,000. It was over.
And so...
The Atlanteans, when did they really get off the ground and start really becoming an advanced civilization? By, say, 15,000 B.C.?
14,500.
So only 12,000, basically... You know, 27 to 15, 12,000 years went from like caveman reality to very starting to be really advanced.
That's not surprising.
And at the same time, around them, those caveman realities still existed.
In many places, yes, as does now.
Yes. Okay, now, how were the pyramids built in Egypt?
By understanding the resonance of the object. This is what could be said was the Atlanteans' greatest invention, the greatest understanding, their cultural leap, scientific leap, technological leap. It was the understanding that all things vibrate.
Now, was that discovered by 15,000 B.C.?
Was discovered by that.
Yes. So the pyramids were built by the Atlanteans?
No, they were built by people living in the area. But that which they knew was that everything had a resonance. That, as we did say, was the discovery that is yet to be fully explored in a science that is available this time.
Well,
one area that this time has advanced to Atlantean is the resonant circuit radio.
Did the Atlanteans have radio?
They had something
like it,
but it was more an indicator than a transmission of words, because they had not reached that point.
Right.
Nor did they have the supplementary technology to give the amount of
content that we have.
Content.
Yes. Now, when were the pyramids first built? After the collapse of Atlantis?
After the collapse.
And so some of these landings escaped and gave after the cataclysm, they gave information to Egyptians?
Yes.
And those Egyptians then made them, what, 8,000 B.C.?
Between 8 and 7. There were certain smaller ones. The larger ones were approximately between 6, 7.
6 and 7,000?
Yes.
But there was no extraterrestrial assistance?
Not extraterrestrial, no.
But could they levitate the bricks?
They could cause them to lose... Realize that mass and inertia are twinned. That mass and weight can be separated. If you remove gravity, you would still have mass and inertia, but you would not have weight.
So their resonant technology could move...
By altering weight.
Are you finishing my sentence or your previous sentence?
I'm finishing yours.
Right.
So they cause the stones to lose weight.
Yes, but not mass or inertia.
Well, that's like levitation.
It is.
An image of levitation.
Yes.
And they had apparatus that could generate fields to do that.
Yes. High static discharge fields.
Now, why did the Egyptians lose that knowledge?
Because to them, realize they did not and could not invent. They were inventive, but outside of a certain parameter, invention was sacrilegious, against a certain natural order, against a hierarchy.
They were paranoically ecological. They did not want to upset the system.
Especially when it was a top-down system.
Yes.
And any invention, you see, that is a greater problem with invention, is that invention can happen at any place on a hierarchy, but if the hierarchy feels threatened by invention, then invention can only come from the top of the hierarchy. So with the Egyptians themselves, since it was not sanctioned by the king, then it did not in fact exist.
So
now, certain of the experiments that certain of the Egyptians themselves were interested in, especially in this potential force and working into batteries and the like, that they were beginning to understand, because it was not completely clear from the Atlanteans what insulation was, because that was essentially, as far as the Atlanteans were concerned, a trade secret. And so that they were learning as to what was insulation and what was not. Realize they were working with something they thought was a fluid, an invisible fluid, and they did not understand the concept of insulation, but that if this touched that, the fluid would be drained. So to find an anti-fluid was the search of certain of these. But the research did not go far because it ran counter to a hierarchy situation that in its own specialization of survival did not allow the extent of invention.
And the Atlanteans were hesitant to show it to them. Or it was lost over time.
It was lost over time. Plus, the Atlanteans were a very hard people to get along with.
Right. So the bureaucracy of the Egyptian culture was entropic. And so invention would stop over time by the nature of their culture, even though they were given this gold, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, it's very good that you brought up resonance, because that resonates with a whole other area of questioning. But I do have a question about what, for today, what is causing the cattle mutilations? I've never heard the Evergreens talk about that before. You know the mutilated cattle in the Midwest?
Yes. But not only in the Midwest. There are certain of these elsewhere around the world. This is not an unusual situation. Now,
you mean not locally specific? Unusual.
Not locally specific.
Yeah.
The best way to describe these is obviously there is no animal that can do this, nor is there sufficient men to do this on a worldwide basis and keep this a secret.
Yes.
And understand that those that do this are visitors.
But not Bhutis.
But not Bhutians.
And are they trying to make us scared?
No, not at all.
They have their needs for doing it?
They have their needs for examination.
For what? For resources? What would they want to examine that for? The cattle.
How long would a dragon last in this environment before it would be bred and dissected? You see, the point is, this is a new life form as far as they're concerned. The entire area is a new life form.
Our planet is a new life form. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Where are these aliens, extraterrestrials from?
There's not a name for it.
Not a human name.
Not.
But they are in our universe.
Yes.
Further away than the Bhutis group.
Further away than this.
Right. Now, are they... The Bhutis have their ambassador program. They want to be very ecological and careful when we establish contact with them. Is this a nuisance because of the energy, the superstition that comes out of the rumors of the cattle mutilation?
No. It's part of growing up.
For us to grow up?
Yes.
In other words, the Bhutis don't mind these other groups, this other civilization doing this, so that we are...
Well, the Bhutians are more powerful than they.
Right.
By a considerable extent.
But they don't mind that being done.
No.
It's almost like the humans need to know there's other life forms too.
Yes.
Besides them.
Yes.
I see.
Why only cattle?
But it's not true. There are other animals also. These have been noticed, but certain others have not been, because there's not been the necessity to examine. Not human?
Yeah.
No, not human.
Why not human?
You mean they don't do humans is what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Not that humans are hard to catch, which they are, but that the resemblance is too great.
To those creatures, those extraterrestrials?
Yes.
Are you saying humans are hard to catch?
Mm.
Easy to catch?
They're hard to catch.
Right. Now, how come do these other group, we'll call them Team B of the extraterrestrials, when they do this, do they make sure the humans are not witnessing it, or do they care that they are seeing?
Well, they don't care. And they have been seen in several circumstances.
Doing it.
Yes.
And that the people kept it to themselves?
Most have.
Yeah.
Some have not.
Now, there's been... Evergreen's predicted within the last couple of years there will be many UFO sightings, booties sightings.
Yes.
In 93-94. I've seen on TV shows an incredible videotape taken by people out in the farm, and they see and you hear the little children say, look, I can see and see it. So they, it has an image of not being faked, not being hoaxed. Is this the kind of communication at the...
Yes. First, you have to see it.
What do you mean by that? You mean humans?
Humans have to see. Now you can look up in the air and you see an airplane, because you allow yourself to see it, as well as the fact that your eye will focus on it.
Yeah.
You may think this is a very small point, but it is not.
So the world is seeing through television images of the UFOs, the actual vehicles.
Yes.
And this is a preparation for the contact.
Yes.
Now, I understand the Evergreens are reluctant to talk about it, but what do you have anything to add to what we know that's going to happen over the next 2 or 3 years?
More visual sightings until it becomes almost a point of asking, when are they going to talk?
Yeah.
You see, the point is...
A lot of video, you mean. A lot of video is going to...
A lot of video.
Yes.
You see, Bootians are one aspect of most correct, that it's easy enough to bring a certain number of craft, a certain number, and just show. But they do know that that is extremely frightening. It creates paranoia, not welcoming arms. It creates paranoia.
No matter how we might think we would be interested, instinctively we would freak, generally.
Yes.
I've been following the crop circles. I find out where there are speakers, and they collect the pictures from the previous summer, and they're extraordinary, the evolution of the crop circle designs of the last few years.
Indeed, there are.
And, of course, there's not too much media coverage of it. It's really blanketed, but if you find the people who are part of the networks, they have great slides.
And the newspapers, having been told and having been convinced it's a hoax, continue to say, here is another hoax.
Right. Now, the TV show, the night I saw some incredible booties video, so to speak, they also did a thing on the new crop circles. And I think it was one in Germany, had an incredible design, but they found a metal plate underneath it. Was that an actual thing left by the crop circle makers? By the bootings?
And what did they do with the plate?
I think they examined it and saw that it was not a terrestrial metal, something like that.
And why is it not told for general consumption? Why does this have to be done through the esoteric means of
fringe TV shows?
Yes.
Yes. Because, okay, tell me why.
Because it's... If you would see that underneath all of this is a fear.
Yes.
A considerable fear.
But when I saw that, I thought of the Evergreen's prophecy about the booties leaving something on a satellite, and that would be the beginning of a contact. But this is something amazing left in the Earth, and it's found, it can be seen, it's not from us. Is that just a preparatory to leaving something on a satellite?
It's all a part of nudging and nudging and nudging. You can nudge, you cannot do more than that.
Like developing our immune system to this.
Yes.
This
good analogy.
Yes. So, the Evergreens cannot say if they're, or could they tell me that they're leaving an object, the prediction of leaving an object on a satellite is still the major form the communication
yes.
will happen, or is it subject to change?
It's part of it. There is much more activity, visual activity, much more evidence that something is there. And what will be found will be evidences associated with the satellite.
So the Buddhists want interaction with high-tech, shall we say, institutions like NASA, people involved with satellites.
Well, basically because they would understand it more easily. Not
right.
Because of power, but they would understand it more easily.
Is there a role for me to be involved in that communication?
Directly. No, indirectly. You're doing it.
Yes. Okay, what's there in? It's just that I met a man last summer who interviewed me as Bob Dobbs, but by coincidence of interest, turned out he was told by a psychic that he was going to be in Egypt when the landing happened. And then I said, well, there's a good possibility you could be the person, because you're talking to me. You're talking to a person who does know what's going to happen, one of the few people on the planet. And so I wondered if the fate of that journalist from England is that he will be... have the news story to give out that the psychic predicted.
He and others. It is going to be a surprising event.
And so that person will remember that he told me this in confidence and will be surprised that it happened?
Yes.
And I guess I'll have to talk to him about that when it happens.
Oh, you will.
I can play him these tapes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, now the... So what happened to that metal object that was found underneath the German crop circle?
That's the point we're stressing. Where is it now? You see, certain objects have been found and not shown publicly.
That's over the last 20 years or so.
More than 20.
Yes.
Now, if you consider the hysteria that existed between the Soviet Union and the United States concerning nuclear war, a whole country became essentially paranoid.
Yes.
Not too different than the other, but...
You mean Russia became paranoid?
Yes.
More than us?
To certain degrees, yes.
Yes.
But you see, you introduce into that environment a superior force, many things become meaningless. It's not that the Bhutians are waiting for perfect peace, because they know for a surety that is not to happen. But at the same time, they will show a superior force in an environment where a superior force is not seen as a threat.
In other words, after the Cold War is ended.
Absolutely, had to.
Which was the political cataclysm the Evergreens predicted.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the next point is, if you were to have, this is a hypothesis, that a UFO were to land on the lawn of the White House, out steps a little green man, and what? Obviously able to fend off rocket attack, etc., bullets, etc. But in a paranoid environment, what questions would be asked? The first would be, how can we match your armament? You see?
I understand that. And I understand why. You know, it's a better time now in the 90s to do what's going to happen.
Now, here is something important. If there were to be a UFO contact, it has been decided among those who choose that they would discuss these things at a certain high level, that questions would be asked on a wide variety of subjects.
You mean among humans? This is humans thinking.
Human thinking, that this is what they would ask the UFO inhabitant or inhabitants. They would ask questions of this and that and the other. And there is a book that is not for general consumption, but it's being added to every while as to who would have a contact with the contactees and what questions would be asked. Theology was at the top of the list. It's now down at the bottom.
And why is that?
Because it's not considered as important as once was.
You're talking about people in certain intelligence agencies?
Yes.
And the German intelligence agency has taken this metal?
It is not there. They do not say it existed.
But they took it?
Yes.
Yes. Did they take it under disguise? Or did they come in an official capacity and took it from the people who found it?
Check with the people, you'll find out that it was borrowed.
Right.
And it's not been returned. But of course, the organization that borrowed it said it does not exist.
Is the German intelligence agency communicating with other nations' intelligence agencies about this? Is there kind of an international elite that's wrestling with this problem?
Not as efficient or as extensive as Interpol. But on a certain informal basis, yes.
And they are wondering, actually, the meaning of their institution in relation to this thing that they see as inevitable. They know it's coming.
Oh, they know it's coming.
Yeah.
They do not know where or when, nor will we add to it.
What was the last words?
We will not add to where or when.
Yeah, you won't. They don't know. And that's the slightly paranoid situation they're in.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Evergreens, for the update. I would, you brought up the discovery of resonance by the Atlanteans as their greatest achievement. Now, I think the Mir technology that my wife Carolyn is working with, you know the Mir?
Yes.
That has evoked a lot of thought around the concept of resonance.
Yes, it has indeed.
So I'd now like to contact the inventor of that technology, if it's possible.
I'd like you to locate Walter Fishman. We think it's F-I-S-C-H-M-A-N, or maybe no C, we're not sure, but Fishman. Was living in New York City, New York, East 68, number 215. He died at the age of 69 on August 12th, 1993. Walter Fishman.
Yes, we have this one.
And we should probably locate the lab.
Yes.
Okay, can you locate the present lab?
Yes.
Whitson Labs in New York State, New York City, East 65th Street, number 325.
Oh, yes, struck like a bell. Yes, we have this.
Great. And also, I guess, his widow, Nancy Whitson Fishman, born 1948, February 3rd.
Yes, we have this one.
She's 46 right now.
Yeah, you'll see her and Carolyn in the lab now.
If you can also locate Carolyn Dean there as well in the lab.
Yes, we have this one.
Great.
All right, now, Walter Fishman has been communicating through a medium with Carolyn and Nancy since he died.
Yes.
I don't participate in the questioning of the medium when they do the trances, but I get to hear the tapes of some of the special readings. Now, it's quite a unique event in history that an inventor of a technology quite quickly can come back and is now guiding Carolyn and Nancy in making the formulas more potent and how to improve the whole mirror process.
Yes.
And Walter has described the curious position he's in. He's still in contact with our dimension. He hasn't been allowed, or he's volunteered to stay connected to us more than someone who would die would do, because he can't go on to other dimensions in spirit, because he has an assignment to keep this mirror going.
And the assignment is completed. He's chosen to stay. He's not forced, chosen.
But there are other entities who discussed it with him.
Yes.
Yes, the ones that he channeled, so to speak, when he was alive.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wondered if the Evergreens would be able to contact Walter if he was in a curious place, but you seem to have access to him.
Absolutely.
So is he able to talk to me?
Yes.
Well, I say, hello, Walter.
And he says, greetings in return.
Yes, I...
Okay, you got to take a break. Play a little music. What can we play? You got any suggestions? Anybody got any suggestions? Do this.